From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on May 6th, just over a week ago, on Facebook. The CEO of Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg, offered her thoughts in advance of Mother's Day 2016. Now, Sandberg is the author of Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. Released in 2013, the book sparked debate about women in executive positions, climbing the corporate ladder, and achieving workplace equality. Sandberg has two children, and she wrote about, in her book, the importance of balance and support. Then, on May 1st, 2015, Sandberg's husband suffered a fall on a treadmill, and he died of head trauma. And so on May 6th of this year, 1 year after her husband's death, Sheryl Sandberg wrote about the challenge of being a solo parent. She wrote that critics of Lean In had said she didn't spend enough time writing about the difficulties that women face when they have either an unsupportive partner or no partner at all. And Sandberg wrote, they were right. She wrote, quote, I will never experience and understand all of the challenges most single moms face, but I understand a lot more than I did a year ago. On Mother's Day, I think we owe it to single mothers to recognize that the world does not make it easy for them, especially for those who struggle to make ends meet. We should give special thanks to the women who are raising children on their own, end quote. There's a lot more to Sandberg's post. We'll be referring to it this hour, and we've posted it on our Twitter feeds. But as this discussion is happening, word comes this month that Rochester is losing nearly $1 million of funding for homeless services. That includes a $227,000 cut to Sojourner House programs, which offer vital support for, among others, single mothers in crisis. Well, this hour, a conversation about the struggle of single motherhood, or if you like, single parenthood. And let me go ahead and welcome my guests now. Two single moms on the panel. Tabitha Santiago's here. Tabitha, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And Erin Kate Howard is here. Erin Kate, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Dr. Sean L. Tracy is here, the executive director of Sojourner House at Pathstone. Sean, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And Tree Clemens is here, director of resident services at Sojourner House at Pathstone. Tree, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Let me ask the single moms on the panel first. You read all of what Sheryl Sandberg had to say. I had a brief portion of it there. Erin Kate Howard, how did it strike you as a single mom?
It was nice to see her acknowledge that. I rewatched her TED Talk this morning in preparation for today. As a single mom who, you know, I'm not a CEO. I don't have a high-powered job. I'm kind of eking by. To acknowledge that there are different kinds of mothers, and that what she said, because of the power that she does have and the privilege that she does have, was, you know, it struck a nerve, I think, for a lot of people. And for even there are women that for them, they may not have even heard it, you know, and they struggle in a way that she doesn't understand. I don't even think in that post, you know, I think there's even you dig deeper and it's even worse, I think, for a lot of people.
I did see a good amount of self-awareness in that post, though. An awareness that said, hey, I'm not speaking on behalf of all single moms as if it's all the same. She's essentially saying, even after losing my husband, I've got resources. She's got money. She's got support around her that a lot of single moms don't have. And just sort of as someone reading the post, I always appreciate self-awareness. And I saw a good amount there. But what you're saying is, even there, you can dig deeper and it's even harder than she probably realizes.
Right. I think that's true. I'm not denying that she was very self-aware in the post.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. But for you, let's see, you've got a 9-year-old, is that right?
Correct, yep.
Okay. And we're going to be talking this hour about the many challenges of single parenthood. Is there a single, I don't know if there's a single aspect or a single feature of single motherhood that is hardest? Is it the way people sort of don't understand who aren't in your shoes, or the what society expects of you as a parent when it comes to your own work, or, you know, being there for your child when you have to also work or have other responsibilities? Is there a single aspect that's the hardest?
I don't know that there is a single aspect that's hardest. I think at different times, different things seem to feel bigger. Especially, I think that you're on your own. I mean, my daughter, this is another part of the conversation of what is a single mother, because my daughter does have a father and he is involved in her life, but to what degree and how is that different, et cetera, et cetera. I think doing it by yourself, making decisions by yourself. Sometimes there are really hard decisions that you have to make, and not having the other parent, not being able to have that conversation in a way that maybe you can if you're in a marriage or a partnership that can exist. I think that's often difficult.
Tabitha, how did Sheryl Sandberg's post strike you as a single mom? Well, you're a parent of a 14-year-old.
14-year-old son. And I think when I read it first, I thought, I don't know if it's because of, you know, I'm an administrative level. I struggle day to day financially. And sometimes those struggles can feel overwhelming when you hear it from someone from her stature and with her background. Mm-hmm. So I felt that I was glad that she acknowledged it, but at the same time, I don't think it spoke to people at my level, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And same kind of question for you. Is there a day-to-day that is the hardest part for you of single parenthood?
Absolutely not.
it's all of it.
Every day is a different challenge, usually. Different ages, as they grow up, becoming teenagers now. Especially in this society with the social media behind everything, it's a whole nother ball game. And I sometimes wish we were back in the 80s. but yeah, every day is a different struggle and a different challenge.
Well, let me just say, before I kick it over to the folks from Sojourner House at Pathstone, parents, whether you're a single mom or not, if you want to call the program, we're happy to hear from you as we discuss the challenges of single parenthood, and we hope that you feel solidarity. I think what Aaron Kate Howard and what Tabitha are saying about Sheryl Sandberg is that, you know, until you really experience something, it's hard to get it. She may get it more, but it's still hard to really get it, and I don't claim to be able to get it. I'm here to listen and try to facilitate discussion and help the audience see that, but I hope you feel at least some solidarity. And so single parents out there especially, I hope you feel that way. If you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Dr. Sean L. Tracy, Executive Director at Sojourner House. First of all, just a sort of a reminder for our audience about what Sojourner House does.
Yeah. So Sojourner House, we are a transitional housing program. We have actually several components of housing. We have transitional housing and we have permanent housing. The transitional housing program is for single women and their children, and they are experiencing all kinds of issues that cause them to be homeless. It could be domestic violence. And, you know, domestic violence could be where they were married and then now they're found themselves being a single parent and having to do things on their own. It could be mental illness or it could be drug addiction. And so those were some of the challenges that caused them to be homeless.
Okay. And we're seeing these cuts to services, $227,000. I don't know how much of the budget that represents, but that certainly seems like it's going to be significant. Can you handle it?
It is a challenge. It's more than just, it's not just the HUD cut. We will also cut another funding source through New York State, NYSHIP. And so altogether, it's about $437,000 that Sojourner House is experiencing. So it's drastic, it's dramatic. We're very worried about that because it's 40% of our budget. And so when you look to the phenomenal services that we provide for single parents and their children. We've been doing this for over 30 years, since the 80s, and we've had some successes, lots of success. We have lots of single parents that have gone on to purchase homes and give back to the community, and now we have to do things differently. Although we plan to stay, Sojourner House, I want to just make that clear, Sojourner House is here to stay. We're just looking at now, how do we change? What cuts do we want to make? And we don't want to cut the services because we have some great services. We've had great successes. But now we're in a position of looking at how can we scale things down in order to accommodate the cuts.
Well, do you get on the phone with members of Congress, with Lou Slaughter? Do you call Chuck Schumer's office?
Oh, we do. We did that day one.
Okay.
Day
one.
Our first call was to Gillibrand and her team, and she was helpful. We've contacted Louise Slaughter. We've contacted Chuck Schumer. We've contacted Morelli just locally for New York State cut. So we've made those connections. Still, we haven't heard, you know, what's happening yet. We're still waiting. But in the meantime, we've designed a program redesign task force, and that includes our board members and our staff. And we're just going to come together and look to find how can we redesign our program, look at new funding options, look at new ways to provide services, but also right now look at other funding streams. We're really happy to announce, we just learned, this was just perfect timing, that we received funds from the Daisy Marquis Jones Foundation, that they have provided us a 2-to-1 matching grant for about $50,000. So right now we have an appeal to the community to help us to get that $50,000, but also to help match that. And so that will be one way that we can help raise some of those funds for Sojourner House to keep the programs. We don't want to reduce the services. We want to continue the program. We know it's been successful. It's been successful for over 30 years. We don't want to reduce it. Unfortunately, HUD doesn't understand what Rochester's successes are. Maybe they looked at, I know they've looked at national data, but here in Rochester, we know what works. Programs like Sojourner House and programs like Wilson Commencement Park, which I also serve as executive director. So you want to talk about an organization really being stewarding their funds. I'm one executive director serving two organizations. So we're really stewarding our funds and being careful at how we spend our monies and making sure that money is provided for case management and for the important services to serve the women and children that we serve.
Tree Clemens is the director of resident services. And your work, you get to know a lot of women who are going through a lot. And you see some great success stories, just as Sean was talking about. But the women that you are serving are trying to juggle parenthood, get on their feet in various ways, sometimes with work. Why do you think society has this way of judging single moms? Why do we do that, Tree?
Oh, that's a good question. I think historically money has gone to different resources, resources that serve women or perhaps is pigeonholed to very specific groups of people or individuals. And it just has not been a priority. And it hasn't been a priority to serve them over a long period of time. So emergency housing might be appropriate, but to serve them for an amount of time to educate them and help them become self-sufficient and learn the skills that they need to become self-sufficient and move into permanent housing and stay in permanent housing and reduce that recidivism or chronic homelessness is the critical piece. I was listening to Tabitha and to Aaron Kate, and Tabitha talked about there are challenges every day. And she talked about social media. Aaron Kate talked about making decisions by yourself. One of the things that we see at Sojourner House every day is that the residents that come in, once they start to build relationships with the staff and with each other, they start to feel like they have some solidarity with each other and can look to resources within our staff and within the community itself to be helpful and to parent their children and to move forward. But that requires time. It requires more than 30 days if you can do it. The last time I was here, we talked about our life skills program, the Henrietta Hammond Institute for Life Skills. Now, if we make changes to our programming, we still want to have that program. But we may have to take life skills programming that was traditionally 4, 6, 8 week programs and pare it down to individual classes. But we want to make sure we're doing parenting, money management, cooking and nutrition, tenant rights and responsibilities, so that for however long people can stay with us, they can leave there with skills to help them stay housed.
Sure. I'd like to ask Aaron, Kate, and Tabitha about some of their own experiences that I think will help people see some of the day-to-day struggles. And I've read some of the things Aaron, Kate has written, who, you write so powerfully about this kind of a subject, Aaron, Kate, about being a single mom and some of the day-to-day struggles. Something that you wrote I'd love for you to kind of talk a little bit more about is even the challenge that comes with trying to sit through an appointment if a child's not allowed in somewhere, or you know, if you want to go to the doctor's office or wherever you're going to go, and what happens to the child in that time. And what sparked to mind for me was in the New York State Legislature, they just had a bill that I don't think actually is going to pass the full legislature, but the state senate had a bill that would criminalize any parent who leaves a child 8 years old or younger in their car for any amount of time. Not on a 90 degree day, not on a 95 degree day, not an 80 degree day. Any amount of time at all in the car without a parent would be a criminal violation for that parent. Now, my son's four. He has been in the car on his own for very short amounts of time. I guess I'm criminalizing myself right now. When I'm running into a store, I can see him the whole time. You know, it's not a hot day. And I'm thinking, I don't know if there's good intention with this kind of a law, but think about single parents. And I'm not even a single parent. I can't even imagine the barriers you face. So can you tell me a little bit about that, those kind of day-to-day barriers of just trying to get around, get to places, and then what happens to single moms?
Can I talk about the experience that I...
Sure, absolutely.
I had a dentist appointment, and the dentist had canceled and rescheduled it, and I'd had a babysitter for the original appointment, and I wasn't able to get one for the second one. So I brought my daughter, who at the time was 8 years old. And when they called my name, I stood up, and she stood up with me, and they said, oh, no, she can't come in. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, it's not safe. She can sit out here. And I said, oh, it's safer for my 8-year-old to sit alone. And it wasn't the kind of office where the receptionist was visible, you know. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, that's what you have to do, or you can't come, you know, can't come to
your appointment. They would let her sit in the room in the corner in a chair quietly while you're going through your appointment.
No, they wouldn't allow her to come into the room with me. And my kid is, I know my child, you know, she can sit and she can read a book and she can be quiet and, you know, she can handle doing that because we've done it enough times that, you know, it's not an issue, but they felt it was safer for her to sit unattended in a waiting room with strangers than to come, you know, and to me, that's not okay. And I think about, you know, the woman that went to a job interview and she left her kid in the car. And so I had written this Facebook post about, and I was so angry, not for myself, but thinking about, because I could reschedule that appointment and find a friend or, you know, somebody to watch her. But what if I couldn't? What if it was a job interview? What if it was, you know, something that my life depended on, either because it was something having to do with being able to eat or, you know, whatever. Why aren't there more things in place? If you look at the statistics of how many single women head families, I don't know them off the top of my head, but we haven't adjusted as a society to the realities of what we have. And I think that that's terrible. And we judge single women so harshly for it, and treat them, we really vilify single women.
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
So I'm a single parent, and this is just my story. Just yesterday, I had a meeting, and my daughter had to be at school at 6:45. And my daughter said, if you're not there, I'm penalized. I'm going to have detention. And I'm thinking, why would they give her detention if she's going to be late? Because the parent is responsible for getting her to school at 6:45 p.m., now, you don't know what time I get off work. I had a meeting, so I have to go get my daughter, bring her to the meeting. Look, I'm going to be in here for 40 minutes. Here's your phone, play. She's 15 years old, so I hope I don't go to jail, right? She's 15. Right? So I'll be out in 40 minutes. Let me get to this meeting. I'm sitting in the meeting. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're not finished. I have to hurry up. I have to get to where I need to go, get my daughter, take her to school. Now I'm pressed for time because it's 6:50, now she's 5 minutes late, and I'm thinking, is she going to get detention? And I don't think the school understands the pressures, but I'm a single parent and I'm driving. And so imagine if I didn't have a car, I had to take the bus. And this is what our women at Sojourner House experience daily. You have to take the bus. You have to get to one appointment to another. You know, I have the luxury of having a car and going back and forth. But there are lots of pressures like that regularly. And I have the opportunity, I'm the executive director, I can make my schedule. But what if I didn't? What if I had a set schedule and I couldn't get off until 6:30 and I still had to do different things? So sometimes, you know, I don't think society understands the pressures that are placed on single parents.
I think that's perfectly summed up here. And mm-hmm. Sheryl Sandberg in her post referenced a few statistics. I'd like to read them because when you hear these statistics, it's even more jarring, to Aaron Kate's point, that we almost have, like this lesser view of single parents, even on job forms or basic forms. You know, Aaron Kate, you wrote that day that you were so frustrated. The forms that you've got to fill out, it's always like set up for the perfect ideal family, you know, the nuclear family, the old sort of, and there's not even a box for you to check as a parent. And look at some of the numbers, and this is what Sandberg references. Since the early 1970s, the number of single mothers in the United States has nearly doubled. Today, almost 30% of families with children are headed by a single parent. 84% of those are led by a single mother. And Sandberg writes, and yet our attitudes and our policies do not reflect this shift. 40% of families headed by a single mother in the United States live in poverty, compared to just 22% of families headed by a single father and 8% of married couple families. Single-parent families headed by women of color face even more barriers. 46% of families headed by Black and Hispanic single mothers live in poverty. And on the safety net, she writes, there is none. 35% of single moms experience food insecurity. Many single mothers have more than one job. That does not count the job of taking care of their children. Missing a paycheck or an illness can present impossible choices. So just dovetails with everything you're hearing here. And yet, Aaron Kate, you mentioned on those forms. I mean, how do you feel as a single parent when you've got to fill out forms and they seem geared toward something that your family isn't, you know, as if it's better or you know, worse?
Well, I tend to be a little outspoken about it. So
you let them know?
Yeah, I do. Because I don't think it's right. Because it adds to what you already feel, that there is this stigma, and it adds to that. And why are we adding to that? You know, I'm really uncomfortable with that. And I know that I have some privilege that a lot of single moms don't. And I'm in a situation, I'm self-employed, so I have a lot of freedom with my child. I'm not rich, but I do have a car, and I do have a really good support system. So why do we add to the stigma? It's already so taxing. It can be so difficult, you know. So why put more instead of what can I do to help? How can I make this better? How can I change this in a good way for these women?
Sure. And Tabitha, you're someone who, you know, you come to an office every day to work. Some people may assume that, you know, financially solid, you know, yeah, you're a single mom, solid. And some of what Sandberg is saying hints at the fact that, I keep going back to Aaron Kate's point, that we're still not really seeing the reality for most single moms. Just having a job mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's, you know, financially smooth sailing.
Yeah.
What have you experienced?
To be completely honest, I fall into that category of minority women, 46%, struggling day to day. I do have two jobs, and I do take care of my child all by myself. His father has never been in the picture, so I do it all alone with no help, no assistance, nobody. My family is back home in Puerto Rico, so I don't have any family here. So it is a struggle every day. And to piggyback on what Aaron Kate said, it is the frustrating thing of how the stigma is so negative to single mothers instead of being positive, in the sense of these women are holding it down for their children every day. No matter how bad we feel, no matter how stressed we are, we get up and we smile usually to our children and wish them well and get them off on a happy note and come to work. And I always say I leave a suitcase at the door outside in the parking garage, and I leave all my struggles and worries and stresses there, and I come to work and I try to be as pleasant as I can be. And nobody really understands what we're, you know, holding deep down to be able to get through the day and to be able to get through life. And it's just so wrong in my eyes that the stigma is so negative instead of being positive and helping us out.
Let's take our only short break of the hour, and let's come back and talk about how we can change some of these things. What can we do to stop using this kind of a stigma that Tabitha is talking about here to help women? And then, more, you know, broadly speaking, when it comes to these kind of programs, you know, what is our community prioritizing with some of the decisions? If you're just joining us, the impetus for the discussion was Sheryl Sandberg, who is the CEO of Facebook. Her Mother's Day post was kind of an ode to mothers who are single moms. And she's a single mom now. She lost her husband tragically a year ago. And she said that she's experienced in just the last year that she had no idea how hard it is, even now, having gone through what she's gone through. She knows she's privileged, but she had no idea how hard it is. So we're talking about that with single moms, and we're talking about that in the context of program cuts to programs like Sojourner House, which is dealing with a $227,000 HUD cut, among others. So that's the discussion. If you want to join it, you can call the program, and we'll get to your phone calls and comments in our second half hour. Coming up in our second hour, we sit down with a local mom who's getting ready to take her family on the road, permanently, leaving Rochester to become a kind of modern nomad family, selling your house, living in an Airstream, drastically paring down the stuff that you think you need and have, even schooling the kids on the road. Modern Nomads, next hour on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our guests are talking about single parenthood, the challenges that come with it, and what we can do sort of better as a society to honor the work that goes into that. Erin Kate Howard, Tabitha Santiago are single moms. Erin Kate's daughter is 9. Tabitha's son is 14. The easiest age, right, Tabitha? Not that it's easy, but just imagine. And a couple of guests from Sojourner House at Pathstone talking about programs there that help single parents in crisis. They certainly have a track record, but they're dealing with some cuts, a HUD cut that is very significant, and they're still hopeful to, well, they said, Sean said, they're going to keep these programs one way or another.
We're not going to close.
But it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, and I'm glad that we do have the Daisy Marquis Jones Foundation grant that's going to help us, and hopefully the community will support us and match it. It's a 2-to-1 matching grant for $50,000, and that will help us a little bit to keep the programs open. But we don't want to reduce the programs. We want to continue doing what we're doing at the same capacity.
Okay. Well, Sean, you wanted to kind of jump in with a remark on lifting, you know, sort of lifting up families, women, children, and also, you know, why aren't we celebrating single motherhood and respecting it more?
So, you know, and I'll be vulnerable for a second. I remember there was an announcement about me getting a job, and I remember someone's post at the end, and it talked about me and my children. I think it was maybe the woman to watch, and it talked about me and my children. And someone commented, "No husband?" And I thought, what the heck? Why? What is that? What does that have to do with anything? She didn't talk about a husband or anything. I'm a single mother, and I'm proud of that. And so where is that? Where do we have that where there's, you know, I'm a single mother and I'm proud of that, and I can be proud to be a single mother and accomplish what I've accomplished? And that's sort of what we do at Sojourner House with our women, that we help them to gain that confidence. You're a single mother. You've experienced a lot of things, but you've overcome that adversity, and we help to build the confidence. Not only that, but the children are affected by that as well. Because when you have that stigma, you don't have a dad, or there's no dad in your life. So the children have to overcome at Sojourner House homelessness. That's one thing, that they're dealing with the challenge of being homeless, but also the challenge of living in poverty, the challenge of not having a dad in their life. So we had to develop programs for them. And so we talk about cuts. We're thinking, do we have to cut the Dream Seeds program, our program that's for children? We don't want to do that. But that's a program that we use to help uplift the children. We help them with developing some talent. They're learning about instruments and jazz and playing all instruments. They even have a recital on June 8th at Hochstein. So these are wonderful things to build confidence, to try to overcome all those stigmas of being a child of a single parent, a child living in homelessness, a child living in poverty, and still needing to build confidence. And so moms, we need to start today and have some type of, you know, campaign to really empower single parents and be proud of that. And I mean, there's single parent men as well, but right now we're talking about single parent women. But single parents, we need to be proud of that and not, you know, continue to deal with the stigma of I'm a single parent and should I have my head down? Absolutely not.
Well, go ahead.
I think, too, for me, raising a daughter, that's really important, and showing her what you can do, you mm-hmm. know, and being resilient, being strong, and not having to rely on a man mm-hmm. to do anything and to survive. And that's really important to me, that my daughter sees. Not anybody else, but her, you know, and for me not to be ashamed for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Twitter, Misty Rose writes to us and says, you ask why society judges single women, yet it seems the panel is judging Cheryl just because she happens to be affluent. It almost seems like envy. Erin Kate Howard, what do you make of that?
I'm not really quite sure what to say about that. We were asked to reflect on what she said, and I don't know.
I mean, I'll
say... You don't have to hold it back, Kate, if you want. Go
I'll say I agree. She's right, in a sense, on my behalf. I think the daily frustrations that we go through sometimes, and we hear from someone of her stature, it does cause a little envy, and it's the truth.
Okay.
I think.
Erin, Kate, you agree or disagree?
I don't feel envy. I don't know. I've had money. I've not had money. It doesn't make you happier. It makes things easier, yeah. Certainly, but it doesn't make you happier.
I suspect Misty is sort of conflating a couple of things. It's one thing that, I mean, as Tabitha says, it's maybe natural sometimes to feel envious because money is just makes life easier, mm-hmm. right? So that's one thing. But the panel isn't saying that Sheryl Sandberg doesn't fully get it
right.
just because she's wealthy and therefore she's a target. But when you have all of those means, all they are saying is, you know, you can appreciate the fact that she is reaching out saying, I didn't get it, I'm starting to get it, but you're never going to fully get it unless you're, you know, living in a way that she is not living, but which is with a lot of money.
That's true, too, Evan. She's saying she didn't get it.
Yeah, that's right. She did.
But she's mm-hmm. acknowledging that, okay, wait, let me look back. And we're acknowledging her awareness.
Absolutely. So that, I think maybe Mr. Rose was conflating a few of those things here. I mean, Sheryl Sandberg herself is saying, I never really got it. I certainly didn't get it before, and I'm only now starting to see the picture. Jane in Rochester wants to weigh in as well. Go ahead, Jane.
Yes. I'm trying to think of why people might have a negative attitude toward single parents. So some people choose that. But for those that don't, in some cases, I'm thinking that we do tend to put parenthood very heavily on women, whether they're married or not. I used to say all mothers are single parents. You know, the responsibilities fall so heavily on the woman. But when we have a single mother, we have a single father somewhere. And it seems we let him completely off the hook. There is no stigma there. It all falls on the mother who's trying to do the work of two. And I agree with you, Evan. She needs applause, not criticism. But it just perplexes me about the father and why so many men seem to skate completely free of any responsibility. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, Jane, thanks for the phone call. I mean, before I let the panel jump in, I would just say as someone who I moved to Rochester, you know, almost 15 years ago, and I remember it was right around the time where a young girl named Letitia Parson had died, and Bill Johnson was the mayor, and he was angry. He used the phrase, I am pissed off, at a news conference, and I have never seen him as animated as he was that day. And he was very blunt about black parenthood, black fatherhood, and how he wanted to see more of it. And at the time, there were calls for kind of summits and conferences and sort of responsibility and taking ownership for your actions and whatnot. So to Jane's point, I mean, I don't think society wants fathers who are out of the picture to be quote-unquote off the hook, as she says. I think there's been some emphasis. But I think ultimately, it doesn't have to be an either-or choice. You can say that the fathers have to do a better job of being there, but you can also not allow single moms to be judged and to be, you know, given the stigma. I mean, you can do both of those things, can't you? It doesn't have to be one or the other. What can we do? Erin Kate Howard, what's something that can change to lift up single moms or to at least make it more accessible? Even if it's just in the dentist's office saying, okay, you're a single mom, we'll be all right with your daughter hanging out
yeah,
here.
I think just that. Can I jump in on what you mm-hmm. said? The caller said something about letting men off the hook. And I think not only do we let men off the hook, but if single men are sort of lauded as, oh my gosh, look what he's doing. It's so great. You know, or if a guy, he's babysitting his own children, not, you know what I mean? So we just treat men differently when it comes to parenting, I think, and that itself, I think, needs to change, just like it does with...
Yeah, once in a while, you know, a well-intending friend will say something like, hey, you know, you want to grab a drink after work. I got to go home and grab my son. Oh, it's a daddy daycare. Like, no, it's just parenting. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah, right,
like,
exactly.
That's kind of
exactly.
What you're talking about?
Yeah, just the idea that, it, you know, and for single fathers, I think, too, it's, oh, gosh, you know, it's this, people look at it as this sort of almost romantic, you see it as this, mm-hmm. It's just totally, it's a totally different story when it's a single father versus a single mom. And I know I totally didn't answer your question.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think those, it's important perspective to hear, but what do you want to see start to change? Maybe it's not a wholesale big sort of overt movement. Maybe it's just more understanding day to day.
Maybe more understanding day to day and just as an individual, what can you do? Do you know a single mom? You know, what could you do to help her out? You know, she might not ask for it. Probably she won't ask for it, because that's another thing about, I think, being a single parent. You don't ask for help. Mm-hmm. You get used to doing everything alone and just sort of
pushing through.
So I would say that.
Tabitha is nodding right along.
Well,
with
that's
it.
Exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, I think it's the little things that can make a movement happen. I think if people hear the story and start thinking, okay, do I know single moms out there, and how can I help them, and how can I offer them support without them asking? Because it is. I have the hardest time asking for help, and I have no idea why, because I am always thinking that I want it, but then I don't ask for it. And I think it's just... knowing that I can do it, even though if I had some help, it would be nice.
Well, not only knowing you can do it, but you have been doing it for 14
exactly.
years, right?
Yep.
But are you afraid of feeling, you know, weak or something and asking for help? Is that?
I don't even get it in my own head sometimes. I don't know if it's weakness. I don't know if it's feeling a sense of letting down even my own son, who has always seen me do it all on my own. And I'm not really sure. I might have to see someone about that.
I didn't mean to put you on the couch, you know, but maybe your default mode is just, I do it on my own. That's what I do.
Just keep pushing me, because I got nobody else. So.
Yeah. Okay. Tree, you want to weigh in? Go ahead.
I do. I think another way to support single parents is, if they're needing, for example, temporary assistance for needy families, a county-funded program, we require single parents to jump through lots of hoops to receive that money. And we also require them to jump through hoops to identify the absent parent and information about that absent parent. They may not have that. Mm-hmm. They may not be able to access it. And it's one more thing that they have to do in order to receive that assistance. That's not supportive. Mm-hmm. I think that we can do a better job of helping single parents in that way, and also improving the amount of money received, so that they can rent an apartment that is at fair market rate.
Okay, but on the first part of your commentary there, Tree, what is going to change that? I mean, you're identifying a problem. Who has the power to make that change?
We're going to have to advocate. We're going to have to lobby. We're going to have to show the statistics and identify the problem. I mean, I think people know that it's out there, but it doesn't seem to be something that is changing overnight or over years. I mean, I've worked in this field for over 15 years, and it's something I've seen in that amount of time.
Sean?
You know, when I think about just back to your statement of asking for help, and so as women, as single women, we don't say we need help, but maybe it is doing some sort of self-advocacy to say, you know what, these hours don't work from, let's say, appointment times, right? And so maybe your medical facility is open between 8 and 4 and you can't get off of work, especially if you have a job where you don't have that flexibility. You've just gotten that job and you need look, I need you to please find a way to service me at this time, because this doesn't work for me. So I think speaking out and empowering women to speak out and say, this would be better served this way.
All right, let me get back to the phones. Lisa in Brighton is next up. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, I wanted to say part of the issue with letting fathers off the hook and all of that is we need to stop looking at fathers who are the primary caregiver as being out of the mainstream, or, you know, we can't look at them as if there's something wrong with them. When you're a stay-at-home mom, there's a lot of different clubs and support groups and all of that, and some of the dads, if they take time off, if they're the primary caregiver, the stay-at-home dad, they either don't know those resources are out there, or they think that they're not allowed to go if they're fathers. I used to be the president of the Moms Club in Brighton, and when I was president, I proposed that we allow dads to join the group because we discovered there wasn't anything in the charter that didn't allow it. There was just this perception that it was for moms, and the motion passed, but there were quite a few of our members who didn't want to have dads in, and there wasn't any tangible reason except that they just somehow thought they wouldn't be able to talk comfortably as moms. And I'm thinking, we're not talking about women's issues, we're talking about parents' issues, and they have the same concerns that you do.
Lisa, thanks for the phone call. Someone on our panel want to start there?
I just hear the importance of supportive services. And so that gets me back to thinking about the cuts to supportive services for women and children. And also, I mean, Wilson Commencement Park, we serve men as well. So let's just talk about supportive services for parents in general. And so is this treated respectfully when there are more and more cuts to supportive services? And I think right now we're validating the need for supportive services.
Okay. Any thoughts from the single moms there on Lisa's comments? Aaron, Kate, Tabitha? No? Aaron Kate's looking at me like, we're going to go to, well, let me grab a sort of a not necessarily a follow-up, but a different comment from someone on Twitter who's asking, this is Stephen. He writes, what's wrong with celebrating a single father? Why this gender division? Celebrate people who care for children, not the sex.
I don't think we're saying not to celebrate single fathers. We're just saying that we don't go about celebrating single mothers every day. I think that's it. We're just saying, why is that? Why is it that we do that for fathers, but no one celebrates the single mother when you see her out walking her children, like, wow, you're a single mother, go. You don't see that. But if you see that with a dad, you're like, oh my goodness, you're taking care of your kids. Oh, you're wonderful.
Well, and, you know, to Stephen's point, I don't know if Stephen is talking about a primary caregiver or not. Most of the time, when the parents are not together, it is the mom who is the primary caregiver doing most of the work. That's just, we just know statistically that's the case. It's like 84%. So I don't think, Stephen, anybody is saying that for those 16% of primary caregiver fathers, you know, don't celebrate or support them, of course. But absolutely. But what we are talking about is the habit, I think, of stigma that seems to befall women even more readily.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's just, Aaron Kate, is that?
Yeah, fair? I mean, that's what we're talking about, I think. I think it's interesting that the last two responses have been, but what about men?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just strikes me as...
I think single parents in general should always be celebrated and patted on the back, no matter if it's a man or a woman. We're just saying, I think that it seems to be viewed upon for men to be like, wow, you're really taking care of your kids. You're so great. But it's never saying to a woman, wow, you're taking care of your kids, you're so great, because it's expected.
Well, there is a view in society that that is the role. I mean, the Republican presidential candidate has said that, of course, he's not going to change diapers because that would be a man acting like the wife. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. So, of course, he's not going to do that. You know, he told his second wife, of course, I'm not going to push a baby stroller down the street. You know, like, that's not what men do. So there is a societal viewpoint that the roles are different and there is more of an expectation that it will fall to the mom. I don't think it's controversial to say that. I'm not saying I'm endorsing that. I'm just simply saying, and I'm not saying that everybody feels that way. I'm saying that that is not a tiny outlier viewpoint.
Yep.
Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Let me grab Jenna in Pittsburgh next up. Go ahead, Jenna.
To follow up on that, Evan, it's also interesting because when we see Alec Baldwin confronting the paparazzi who was stalking his wife and his baby in a stroller, we portray him as the bully rather than the protective father. So it's very interesting how we portray the patriarchal relationship in American society. But my point was, I have a friend who recently went through a divorce, and the judge separated the children because they both have autism. And the judge from her bench said to the mother, you're not capable of raising both children in your house, therefore I'm going to separate them because as a mom you can't possibly take care of both kids. And I think that that's wrong on so many levels. You can't possibly understand the social dynamics of that household from a bench. And that implies an incapability on the part of the mother, on the part of the father, on the part of the children. The pain that instills in a family is just crazy. And everything that you're talking about comes out in that story. And to Stephen's point, I have another friend who is a father, who is a single father, who's doing a great job, and I watch the stigma that he goes through. It's parenting, which came out through one of your guests. We shouldn't stigmatize parenting, regardless of gender, regardless of whether you have two moms, two dads, one mom, one dad. It's parenting, no matter what side of it you're on.
Thank you, Jenna. Sure, absolutely. And I just keep going back to my own experience, my own limited view, 4 years of parenthood. I have afternoons where I've got to get out of the office earlier than I probably would like to, or there are times where I look at my coworkers, my remarkable coworkers here, and I feel bad. I'm walking out, technically early or whatever you would call it, because I've got to pick up my son. And I am not a single parent. And my wife is not a single parent, and I feel that guilt. How in the world? I mean, Tabitha, how do you feel? You got to get out at 2:30 in the afternoon, some afternoon, and your colleagues, as far as I can tell, love you and support you.
Yeah.
But you may even be inferring that this guilt, right? I mean, that's just another little layer for moms.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And I mean, and I've experienced it so much at jobs, and it's really hard because you have to do it all on your own. You have to get him to every appointment, doctors, dentists, sports, if they're involved, extracurricular activities, and you got to get them there. And it's hard sometimes because I do feel judged. I have felt the judgment. But I mean, I'm not very vocal about being a single parent. If it comes out that it is, that they find out I am, then it does. But it's the judgment is hard sometimes, definitely is.
Yeah, it's hard enough, when you hear about Pathstone and all of these programs that are helping single moms find work, and then to get work is hard enough sometimes. To be able to get the transportation to work, living in poverty, we've been talking about the anti-poverty initiative and how many people in poverty have trouble just getting to work consistently and then getting their kids around, whether it's school, doctors, et cetera. But even when you can, then dealing with a stigma of being judged, on certain days. Anyway, I just have so much sympathy. I can't say empathy. I mean, Tabitha, I look at you and I have so much admiration for you, for the parents who are dealing with that. So some final thoughts here. Erin Kate Howard, what do you want to leave the audience with when it comes to, sort of embracing and understanding single parenthood going forward?
Be kind, I think. Just be kind. You could be there someday, too. You never know.
Yeah.
Sheryl Sandberg didn't know.
Yeah.
Very
true.
Be kind. That is so universal, but
sums it up very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to our guests from Sojourner House at Pathstone, if you missed it earlier, they're dealing with big cuts, a HUD cut of $227,000. And they're going to try to make it work. Probably going to try to raise more money. I mean, Sean, that's just the reality now, right?
That's the reality. We're going to try to raise as much money as possible to continue the programs at its full capacity. We are looking for people to even join our redesign task force if they have ideas or if they have great business practices that they'd like to help us with. We encourage the community to come and move forward and help us with that. But most importantly, if I guess I have a call to the community to help us, to help Sojourner House, to help Wilson Commencement Park, those programs that have experienced the cuts, and support. We don't want to see more people homeless. We want to make sure that we continue to provide the services that are important to women and children.
And just the juxtaposition of the Sandberg note saying, you know, this is one of the most sort of public, visible women in business talking about the challenge to single parents, and then to see $1 million worth of cuts in our community, almost $250,000, a HUD cut for you guys, right when we're talking about the need more than ever. It's tough, but thank you for telling the story.
Thank you. And we have that 2-to-1 match, so we're looking for community members to help as well.
Online where?
We're online at sojournerhouse.org.
Thanks very much, Sean and Tree. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
To Aaron, Kate, to Tabitha, and to all single parents, to single moms out there. I love Aaron Kate's comments. You know, I hope more people are going to be kind and to be understanding. And I hope that you feel more love and support every day. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you.
All right, short break. More connections next.